Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell on YouTube if you're watching it on YouTube. We're also available wherever fine podcasts can be found, and Spotify now, which is super exciting. If you're on one of those podcast apps, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. It really does help boost the exposure of the show. We're also a pro wrestling tease, Larson, last night. Super late tonight, I uploaded the latest design.
Ooh.
I don't think it's up yet. Kind of a goofy design, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to churn them out now.
That was the intent.
Yeah, it was. It's very colorful. Now, it's still not up yet. So they got like that. I keep on forgetting. They got that big WrestleMania sale. I'm assuming they're going to do it again. They did it last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, holy crap, it was a boon. So I'm just trying to crap out as many designs as you can.
Yeah, I got to do that too.
I got to upload by then for sure. I just want to wait a little while, just like maybe the week before Mania. Our new logo.
Yeah.
We're on the road to Office Space. We've been told that right before WrestleMania is going to be our move-in date, or our internet date, when we'll be able to actually do more stuff, do everything. And so we're getting a new logo with that. So I'm gonna release that shirt in like five different variations.
Yeah.
Well, maybe four.
You mean in terms of the color of the shirt or the color of the logo?
No, color of the logo. It's always gonna be in a black shirt, man. Black shirts are the best. If I find
one of the most versatile.
Like maybe I might do like a raglan with
the good
logo.
That'd be good. I like those.
Raglans
shirts.
Are cool.
Yeah, they're comfy too.
They are comfy. Anyways. So that's the deal with all that. Let's talk about, we have a lot of great stuff to talk about today in terms of 205 Live and NXT. We had, I'm not going to call it necessarily a match of the year contender, but we might have had a match of the year contender.
Yeah.
With Roderick Strong and Cedric Alexander. Absolutely. It was the best match we saw this week on WWE TV.
Oh, yeah.
We had another phenomenal match, if not for the wonky finish, which was kind of by necessity.
Oh, the United Kingdom title match, yeah.
Which was absolutely fantastic.
Adam Cole is really selling for Pete Dunne.
Oh, I know. I know.
Really selling for him.
Pete Dunne is so great. And Adam Cole is so great.
Yeah, man.
They're fantastic. That final, well, we'll talk about it when we get there, but Adam Cole's, the last one he did with Pete Dunne, where like Pete Dunne went down like,
oh, I know. Like it landed on his head.
I know. Oh, it was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But anyways, we'll talk about 205 Live first.
Yeah.
I like that there's not as much. They're letting these matches really, really breathe.
I know, and it's great.
It's really fantastic, except for the one jobber match. But even with the tag team match, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It kicked off with, I don't know if they've been given a name yet.
Not that I'm aware of.
Akira Tozawa and Hideo Itami versus the Lucha House Party, which is like my favorite name ever.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Lince Dorado, Grand Metalik,
mm-hmm.
Kalisto, serving as a manager of sorts for this particular match.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, yeah, great match. Akira Tozawa was in the ring for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made the hot tag to Hideo Itami. A lot of great work. It this really feels like, especially watching this match, it kind of crystallizes in my mind how everybody on 205 Live right now just seems free to do what they do best.
Yeah, I know. There was so much cool stuff
and
going
on. Yeah, that spot where Grand Metalik used himself as a springboard.
I know what you're going to do with your fingers because he was like this.
A springboard for Lince Dorado to jump over the top rope and jump onto Tozawa on the outside. But just even how, like, Grand Metalik is smooth. He is so smooth.
Yeah.
And he's relatively fast, but last night it seemed like the pace was quicker. All his movements were so much smoother just because he realized, okay, I can just go in there and do what I do best.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about fitting into a particular style.
Yeah, I know.
That may be imposed upon me by management. I can just go in there and wrestle.
I know. It's crazy that like on 205 Live now we get that, and on NXT we get that, and on main roster, for whatever reason, they don't.
It's hit or miss. Sometimes,
sometimes,
you know,
they
like on pay-per-view matches, you can tell, okay, they just tell the guys, go out there and do what you do.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they book the match and set up spots and whatnot, but in terms of choreographing stuff to a very specific degree, this feels like, all right, here's your major beats, now go and improvise the rest, something like that, you know? Hideo Itami, hit Grand Metalik with his finisher, got the pin and the win for his team. We've been hearing rumblings of a 205 Live Cruiserweight tag division.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two teams right now. I would suspect they would need at least two more to actually have a real division.
Yeah.
There's plenty of roster members who, once this tournament is over and a new Cruiserweight champion is crowned, to have to team up to fill out this division. And if this is the quality of matches we're going to see on a regular basis, I'm looking forward to it.
The thing that I really like about the idea of a tag division and why it's going to be so strong in 205 Live is because, obviously, 205 Live had its genesis from the Cruiserweight Classic, which made a point of going international.
Yeah.
And so you've got, Hideo Itami and Akira Tozawa, Japanese wrestlers. You have Lucha House Party, the Lucha style, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can team up like Noam Dar and Jack Gallagher, for example, two heels who are used to the UK way of doing
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I mean, interrupt you.
I'm really interested to see what they let Noam Dar do when he comes back.
Right.
Because he wrestled completely differently on 205 Live. Well, not completely, but largely differently on mm-hmm. 205 Live than he did in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He wasn't really doing a whole lot of the British-style mm-hmm. joint manipulation on 205 Live, but he was doing that in the Cruiserweight Classic, and they made a real point of saying that he was, I think, a former student of Zack Sabre Jr. They trained together.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So that, he has extensive knowledge in that type of wrestling, but you never really saw it from him on 205 Live.
And what we saw last night was a hint of the kind of stuff where you can see stylistic international styles matching up in a fascinating way. And the thing that I really liked about the match that we saw on 205 Live, I said last night, but it was on Tuesday. The thing that I really liked was at the end, it wasn't like all the spirit of competition, shake your hands. There was some heat at the end.
Yeah.
And Lindsay and Hideo Itami started to get into it,
mm-hmm.
and they all had to be sort of held back
separated from each other. Yeah.
I really, really like that.
I know.
They're going to really go hard on the spirit, on the competitive nature, and it's going to get what do they call it in basketball? Chippy.
Yes.
When people start getting a little too hard with each other.
Yes, yes.
Of course, it isn't nearly as hard these days as it used to be back in the
80s. No one's getting knocked out in the middle of the court. No.
right, exactly. I'm really looking forward. If that's the direction of the tag division, I'm really looking forward to it. I think, again, we noticed in the newsletter with the ratings, number six again.
Yep.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this week,
it can crack the top five.
I think if anything will, it's going to be this week with Roderick Strong and Cedric Alexander. We'll talk about that match in a second.
Well, if not this one, then I think with the hype this match is getting, because mm-hmm. it was stellar.
Yeah.
People, the word of mouth, I hope, is good on it.
Yeah.
People hear about this match, say, oh, I want to check out 205 Live, see what they're doing. And then when Mustafa Ali and Drew Gulak, put on a clinic next week, maybe that's when people are like, okay,
yeah,
I'm into this now.
This was in terms of getting the, because if you notice, by the end of the main event last night, the crowd was so into it.
Oh, I know.
They were so into it. And this was the perfectly booked show to get a dead crowd into the show. You had this fantastic Japanese wrestling, lucha wrestling matchup that was not too long,
mm-hmm.
and it was filled with great, high-flying spots and hard-hitting stuff. Then you had basically a squash match with Jack Gallagher, which is on the shorter side, with some really brutal stuff going on. And then that set up perfectly for the main event, which was just an absolutely fantastic 20-25-minute match.
The audience gasped during that spot where Lindsay Dorado was launched by Grand Metalik.
That woke everybody up.
Yeah.
If you can have one of those spots, which I know these guys are creative enough to do that every single week, you're going to wake that crowd up. Because it is sad to see how dead they can be, but there are ways to wake any crowd up, and these are the guys that can do it.
Oh, definitely. After that first match, we have a Roderick Strong video package, and I thought the interview stuff was actually pretty well done.
Me too. Me too.
He seemed very comfortable.
Yeah, he did. He said, I don't like to have anything given to me. I like to work for it. I like to earn it.
Emphasize the importance of having a shot at going to Mania.
Mm-hmm, yeah. He needs to be, dude. They need to put him in the... All these guys who are... I really hope that they're going to partially use the Andre the Giant Battle Royal this year to recognize the people who really work their asses off and give them their Mania moment.
Mm-hmm.
Cassius Ohno
mm-hmm.
and Roderick Strong mm-hmm. are like number one and two on that list for me. Other guys, Mustafa Ali, who I would love to see him move on. I think it's a 50-50 between him and Drew Gulak, but I feel like they're going to go heel face with Cedric now and then next week.
I will say this. So I understand your point of view on the heel face dynamic for that match. But at the same time, if the show is more about spirit of competition, not so much in characters.
It'd be great if they had Cedric
and
Mustafa.
I don't think they necessarily need to worry about the heel face dynamic in that match, because I think they're worried about, okay, what's the best match we can book for Mania? And as we saw during their match a few weeks back on 205 Live, Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali will be phenomenal on that stage, letting them go out there, do what they can do. Let's say that Cedric versus Gulak would be bad. I'm just saying, if you want to wow the crowd, give him Mustafa versus Cedric.
And it's kind of a better story.
Yeah.
And on and it would reward the fantastic character work Mustafa Ali has done. And on top of that, the thing that I would like about it would be you would have an instant story built in with Drew Gulak lying in wait for whoever comes out of Mania as champion. It's probably going to be Cedric Alexander. So, yeah, no, I like all that. I think, I mean, I'm just honestly at this point, I'm torn as to what I want to see. I really am, because I could see, you know, out of all four of these guys, I don't have a definitive, oh, who do you want to see on the biggest event?
Oh, it could be any combination of those four, and it would have been satisfying.
It could have been any combination of them. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
I wonder if
who they pull the trigger on.
If Roderick Strong's going to stick around on 205 Live going forward.
God,
because they still bill him as NXT superstar,
and he was prominently figured in NXT. Have him pull double duty as long as possible. 205 Live, he only has to do one day a week. Then he goes to NXT, and that tapes, you know,
once a month. Yeah, I mean, there's house shows for NXT, but
put him on SmackDown Live also.
Yeah,
I can watch him wrestle all day long.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. And the thing is, like, I am a big personality guy. But, dude, I don't care if he literally talks like I am wrestling machine. I think I'll watch him wrestle.
The interview bit he did last night, I thought it was really good.
And he didn't cry.
There was one line where it felt a little too rehearsed, but otherwise.
Which one was that?
I don't remember exactly what it was.
Okay. I was making my eggs while it was on, but I was looking at the screen while it was
happening. Yeah, I meant to make note of that one line, but for the remainder of it, you know, like, he sounded very, really natural and was really effective. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Let's see here. After that was Jack Gallagher versus Murphy Myers. Good looking dude.
He looked familiar.
Yeah, he did. He looked kind of like Buddy Murphy.
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit. He looked like a combination of Buddy Murphy and Pulse. When are we going to do our Pulse? When are we going to do our collaboration?
Yeah.
It makes me laugh.
Rockstar Spud, I mean, Drake Maverick came out for commentary in this match.
I mean, Drake Maverick.
And he was great.
Yeah. Is there a proper pronunciation? Is this supposed to be Gallagher or Gallagher? Or is it a regional thing?
I don't know. I mean,
because he kept on saying Gallagher.
I know, but everybody else is Gallagher.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, and this is a fantastic showcase for Gallagher's.
Mean Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, exactly. None of the cutesy stuff. It was all just him. And I love that they're letting him do that to the fullest. And I love that his finisher was a headbutt.
Yeah, I know. That's what it should have been from the get-go.
I know. I agree. That was fantastic.
And there's another wrestler who's well-versed in the British style of joint manipulation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And as we saw in his match against Mustafa Ali, where he kind of had the repackage with the new tights and everything. He, you know, when he turned heel initially, and I complained about this in the past, when he turned heel initially aligned with Brian Kendrick, it seemed like he didn't know or was told to wrestle a specific way as a heel and didn't really mesh with what we saw before.
Yeah.
When he was a face, where he was doing a bunch of that joint manipulation, but the take on it was a little more playful, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And not really worrying about being cruel. Mm-hmm. And so when he turned heel, he was just kind of wrestling basic matches, and he would talk about being cruel, but it never seemed like he was actually inflicting real punishment on anybody.
Yeah.
Now, it definitely seems to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's working joints, working limbs, putting people in crazy submission moves.
Mm-hmm.
Being cruel.
Yeah.
And so if you want to get Jack Gallagher over as a heel, this is what you do. You put him in matches like this where he destroys enhancement talent, is mean to him, traps him underneath the apron and beats the heck out of him, destroys him with a headbutt and pins him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
He's mean now.
He's mean
now.
And
he actually wrestles like he's mean.
Nick G has a question here in our Patreon chat. He says, is Fastlane considered this week or last week for the ratings? It was included in the current ratings. So I think they consider Sunday the last day of the week.
Oh, gotcha.
Because Fastlane was number one in the ratings. Talking Smack after Fastlane was number two. NXT, then Mixed Match Challenge, then the Fastlane kickoff show, then 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of everything that was sort of new, I mean, NXT is always a big draw for the ratings.
Yeah.
Mixed Match Challenge is pretty hot for the ratings. And so 205 Live was it wasn't behind any old ride-alongs, wasn't behind any random old episodes of Raw.
It was amongst first-run programming.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it is.
After that match, we had a Cedric Alexander video package, kind of tracking his trajectory so far in the Cruiserweight division from Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
Spoke about his match against Kota Ibushi briefly.
Yeah.
His run on 205 Live. It was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it.
It was good. I would love to see. All we know right now of Cedric is the competitor, and his promo at the end of his win against Roderick Strong this week, I thought did one single promo, and literally like three sentences out of that promo did everything to turn me around on him as a character. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is that simple. And if you took those three sentences, and I'll tell you what they were in a second. If you take those three sentences where he talked about his kid and you give us the same kind of video package they did with Roderick Strong.
Yep.
Leading into Mania, and you have 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
It'll go miles. It'll go miles into really people care about him because he's so great in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be really emotionally invested in this.
Yes.
And I think, and now that I think about it, maybe Mustafa Ali is the way to go heading into Mania if you want that emotional investment because Drew Gulak is kind of playing a character.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Mustafa Ali is the way to go.
Yeah, and while his promos that he's been doing himself are very stylized, they seem very genuine and
yeah,
very
they
earnest.
Do. Yeah, no, they're fantastic.
You know,
yeah.
He speaks of his past, you know, like he used to be a police officer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Officer Mustafa Ali. Anyways, let's talk about this match. We had next we had the Mustafa Ali promo.
The latest one, the horror movie.
Yeah, the horror movie.
I like that he's doing a little genre.
I know.
You know, referencing or influence.
Somebody asked
now.
Him on Twitter. They said, "Who is that guy behind you in the video?" And he said, "My past."
It's great.
That's awesome.
So good.
My past. It's my buddy John, but you know, metaphorically speaking. Roderick Strong versus Cedric Alexander. This was a fantastic match. A couple of moments. The crowd just really started getting into this.
Oh, yeah.
With a couple of false finishes. Cedric got his lumbar check on Roderick Strong right next to the ropes.
Well, during the match, too, they spoke about Roderick Strong saying that he thought, first of all, that he could kick out a lumbar check, and he would, but he didn't think Cedric would be able to kick out of End of Heartache.
Right.
And so they were kind of playing that aspect up in the story of the match itself. So anyways, continue. Yeah, Cedric kicks lumbar check. Strong on two gets his foot on the rope.
I'd have to go back and watch it again. I'm not going to say it's better than, but this is up there with, in terms of, I mean, not just the match itself, but Cedric's performance as a character, his facial reactions.
Oh, up there with his match against Kota Ibushi.
It mirrored it at least.
Yeah.
Because when, you know, he's been able to rely, and it's been great that nobody's kicked out of it. Nobody's found a way out of the lumbar check in terms of being finished. And this is the first time somebody did. Roderick Strong got his foot up on the rope when he hit the lumbar check, and Cedric Alexander figured the match was done and was beside himself. He's like, crap, what do I do now?
Well, it's kind of set up so both competitors are so confident in their finishers and the destructive capabilities of it and this ability to finish matches that they thought, okay, I hit this, done.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of blasé about, you know, which leg they hooked going for the pinfall.
Right, exactly.
And it's amazing. It's a testament to the talent level of both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to, the symmetry of the spots between their finishers in basically the same exact spot in
I
the
know.
Ring. It seemed like a matter of inches.
I know.
It was incredible.
It was so great. I know. I was shouting out loud when I was watching it this morning. It was fantastic. So they go to the outside. They go onto the apron.
Oh, man.
And Strong. Dude, I know it's like it's Roderick Strong truly is a strong individual because he hit an Olympic slam.
Yeah, kind of. He has Cedric in the Olympic slam position and then just throws him off the apron onto the ring post.
So it was like lower back basically hits the top of the ring post and he goes tumbling down. I'll say this. I saw this with Xavier Woods when he hit his head on the ring steps of Fastlane. Not a huge fan of the convulsing. When you're selling something and you're convulsing, because it doesn't really feel real.
Yeah.
But that's such a minor quibble. That's such a minor thing. You know, it's so silly.
At the same time, though, they have to project pain. From
I know.
Just us at home, but people on the back. You're right. Necessarily for 205 live taping, but I'm just saying everybody in that arena has to know what's going on.
Yep, absolutely. So they get back in eventually.
Yeah, Roger goes for the count out win there.
Yeah.
He yells at the ref to start counting.
Count it, ref!
Yeah. Cedric gets... Well, it's weird because Cedric got back on the apron like right after 9, and then Roderick, I think, did a running knee towards him. Mm-hmm. But Cedric never made it back in the ring.
Right, yeah.
So I guess since Roderick hit Cedric again, that broke up the count.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's a minor quibble.
Yeah. In any event, Strong ended up hitting his end of heartache, like you said, basically in the exact same spot that he got hit with the lumbar check. Cedric got his foot up on the rope. The crowd went crazy for that. They were into this big time by this point.
Oh, yeah, because it was hard hitting. They were working each other's backs a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of great striking stuff.
Yeah.
Especially towards the last half.
It was
incredibly fast-paced.
When Roderick Strong, so they traded some blows. They traded some counters.
They started trading punches, yeah.
And then Roderick said, come on, let's do this. And they just start going fast and furious at it. It was, and the crowd really started getting into it at that point, big time, too. So that was a fantastic sequence.
Anyways, Roderick Strong hits a running knee, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Sets up for end of heartache.
Nobody has a better collapse than Cedric Alexander.
Oh, I know.
He does collapse better than almost anybody.
He does out in his feet really well, too.
Yes, he does. Yeah, yeah.
So while Roderick's setting up for end of heartache, Cedric rolls him up, picks up the win, and Roderick Strong immediately just shattered, heartbroken that he lost.
Yeah.
He's on the verge of tears, it seems like.
And I love the roll. That's why he needs a big win at some point. They need to give him a...
Well, that's kind of his story. He never wins a huge match.
And his story in NXT right now is they pushed it again last night also. Mm-hmm. He wants another opportunity, the UK title. He needs to win that UK title.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so great. But yeah. And the roll-up, here's the thing. Roll-ups can often be not believable.
Yeah.
Roll-ups can sometimes be, when you're sitting there and they're just doing this, and it's a blasé one, that roll-up was quick, the count was quick.
Yeah.
And it was like a snap roll-up with some strength behind it.
Yeah.
It made sense. It felt real.
It made sense for the story of the match, too.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, to have it snap, like, because the victory could be snatched at any moment, and it was.
Yeah.
And that makes it even more heartbreaking for Roderick Strong because, like, it got stolen from me, essentially.
Yeah. What was Roderick Strong saying to Cedric after the match before he left the ring?
I didn't notice that.
They were talking.
Were they?
He was talking to Cedric, and I thought he said something like, you earned it.
Okay.
I couldn't tell.
That could be.
You know, there was no mic or anything on.
That could be because then they go to interview Cedric in the middle of the ring, and the crowd starts, the people that were still there were chanting, you deserve it. And he says, thank you. He says, but I didn't deserve this. I earned it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, every morning I wake up, my 4-year-old daughter calls me champ and kisses me before I go to work. And he says, now I'm going to go to WrestleMania. And I forget what her name was, but he calls her by name. And he says, I'm heading to WrestleMania where I'm going to be the next Cruiserweight champion. And I thought that right there.
It seemed like the emotion was pouring
genuine.
Out of him was genuine.
Was completely
genuine.
And that right there is more character that I've seen out of Cedric than I have since the Cruiserweight Classic when he was showing all this character in the ring.
Yeah.
Since then, I feel like he hadn't really been given. If a guy can bring his character, if you can book matches, if you can book stories to the degree that a guy can bring out his character within the context of that story, that's ideal. And he hasn't been booked in a story that's warranted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had him with Goldust for a period.
I know.
They had him, you know, trying to match wits with Enzo. And everybody, whenever they were matched up against Enzo, it's like, you're just thinking, why am I matched up with this guy?
I know.
Wrestle circles around him.
I know.
And like thinking back on it now that we're given what we need to be, what this should have been the entire time. It's like, good God, what were they doing with that crap?
It's all Vince.
Yeah.
If reports be believed that he thought the show should be focused on characters.
Yeah.
And not in-ring action.
So, just an absolute, you know, definite match of the week, maybe match of the year. I mean, it's going to be in there in the top 20 for WWE, I'd say, you know?
Oh, yeah. It'll make our short list of contenders, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So really fantastic stuff, and it really had me... This was what I needed to see from Cedric to give a shit about his match at WrestleMania. I'm there. I have it. I'm really happy right now. Next up, let's talk about NXT.
Yeah.
There's lots to like about this. There's lots to really like about this episode. You know what it is? Here's the thing about NXT. I feel like it's not a true episode unless we get something like what we got last week in the carport.
Oh, yeah.
I love the impromptu press conferences.
The little character bits.
The little character bits that are so silly and funny and make NXT so charming.
Yes.
However, we did get a bunch of... We did get something that was very charming at least at the very end of the episode with Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was great stuff. It kicked off with...
Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic match between Sanity and Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli.
Mm-hmm.
They were still kind of pushing the tension between Moss and Sabatelli at one point where Sabatelli gets knocked off the apron accidentally by Riddick Moss.
Yeah.
And then Sabatelli eats a fun splash from Nikki Cross.
Yeah, I... Number one, I love that Sanity all came out together and Nikki Cross was out there, and I know she had a purpose, but she should always be with Sanity.
Agreed.
So I like that. And I, you know what? Honestly, I'll be honest. I knew they weren't going to win. I was totally rooting for Tino and Riddick Moss. They've earned it at this point. They've earned at least a surprise path to the second round. And they didn't. They didn't get it. But still, it was a fun
match. I just hope they don't break
them
up.
I know, me too. I feel like they're like a really weird underdog story.
I know.
They're like guys who, well, one is a rich jerk, and the other guy is just a jerk, you know. But I like them now, and I want them to succeed.
I know,
because they're a weird underdog story.
I know, especially coming from...
You don't think of arrogant heels as weird underdogs.
No,
but they
I know. I think it all goes back to breaking ground.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
at least for us, I think.
The fact that they're still at it.
I know.
Come, they've paid their dues. Let them forward.
I know, and I just worry about their ceiling as singles competitors.
Oh, no, I know. I do, too.
But I think their ceiling as a tag team is pretty good.
I know. Me, too. I know. So, but, I don't know. But
yeah, Sandy picked up the win with their finisher hitting on Tino.
Because, like you said, Nikki Cross hit a fun splash off the apron onto Riddick Moss. And so, yeah, they're teasing that. But I don't want... Because here's the thing. If they break up, they're going to have a match in the pre-show at TakeOver. So, it's going to be on the lame TakeOver recap show.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
But then where do they go from there?
I know, exactly. Like, their ceiling is, like, as singles competitors are, like, way lower than, like, even Ty Dillinger. They just basically non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Let them get through this as a team.
Exactly.
And see some success.
Exactly.
Like, I have all the faith in the Street Profits. I think they're going to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
But let them have a program with Moss and Sabatelli. Let Moss and Sabatelli get over.
Mm-hmm.
Street Pro or even Heavy Machinery. They kind of had like a mini program thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But even then, Heavy Machinery
won, because that's when they first started teasing the promise between Moss and Sabatelli.
Let them get some dubs, man.
I know, I agree.
Next up, we had another attempt at a Tommaso Ciampa promo.
Yeah, he came out, and apparently someone must have handed out a bunch of Gargano signs to the entire audience at Center Stage Theater, because
they all made the same one. Yeah.
No, I don't think that happens. They're probably all in their seats.
Yeah.
Ciampa came out, tried to do a promo again, was met by a chorus of boos.
The booing was a tad more passionate this time.
Yes, a lot of chants. A
little bit more. I still want to see that happen at Full Sail.
Yes.
He did not get his promo off. And then he walked away.
Yeah.
He got upset.
He just wants his moment.
He wants his moment. He just wants his moment. I want that shirt.
Yeah, you're not going to get it, though.
I want that shirt. Oh, let me check here. Let's see if our shirt's up yet.
You're so obsessed.
Going to reload.
No.
Still not up.
Still not up. Next, Lacey Evans versus Dakota Kai.
Surprisingly quick match.
Yeah, really quick match. Dakota Kai won within, I don't know, like 45 seconds via roll-up. Lacey Evans started working over Dakota's injured arm, the one that was injured by Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
But Dakota found an opportunity to roll up Lacey Evans and score the win.
I like Dakota Kai. She has such a great look.
I know.
And then this bit where she had with Ember Moon.
Oh, that was all good.
Was fantastic, because that was out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler comes out. And she starts basically stalking down.
Yeah, and essentially corners.
Yeah, corners Dakota Kai, who's like freaking out because Shayna Baszler is terrifying.
Yeah.
Ember Moon comes out looking like $1 million. She looked like a superhero.
Yeah.
Like a really well-designed superhero. She comes out. They brawl. Shayna Baszler
has like a Kimura on Ember while Ember's on the top rope because she's going to go for the eclipse.
She's going to try to hit an eclipse. And then just out of nowhere on the apron, Dakota Kai comes in and just like rammed, like just boots the crap out of Shayna Baszler which unlocks her grip. And she ends up on the ground as Ember Moon climbs up to the top. Shayna Baszler comes up, and Ember Moon hits a nasty one-armed eclipse. Because she goes, oh, like that, and goes like this, and bang,
it was great.
Hits her. Oh, it was great.
So good.
Big old Klingon death growl at the end, death scream at the end. I love that. I thought it was fantastic. We're getting Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler at TakeOver.
Yeah.
Ember Moon's probably going to lose that title.
Probably get called up to Maine.
Go up to the Maine roster. That'd be smart. And then it'll give, hopefully, Dakota Kai like a program with Shayna Baszler to kick things off.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Dakota Kai. I think she's super polished, and that kick was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Because like the way the camera was framed, and she is so fast.
I know.
She is like, and that was like full force. That was amazing.
It was great. Yeah, she just like ran in from out of frame.
As if she had like a wheel on one leg, and it was like that. Like a motor on her or something. It was silly. It was awesome. Shayna Baszler is terrifying, though.
Yeah, man.
She's so scary.
She is.
Oof. Anyway.
Next, another Dusty Rhodes tag team classic match. Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery. This was fun.
This was fun. This was a lot of fun.
The Solo Cup was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. I liked the match because it wasn't really that long, and it was kind of good. So somebody in chat, I don't know if it was Alex C or who, but said that it reminded him of like a house show match, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And I agree with this because there's a bunch of comedy to it. It started off with Otis wanting some of the from the Solo Cup.
I think Montez Ford was getting beat up a little bit, and so he took a drink and then offered to Otis. Mm-hmm. Otis accepted. Down the rest of it, Montez got up, and then Otis ran over.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Match continued. Heavy Machinery were kind of like having their way with Street Profits for a while until Angelo Dawkins reversed something that Otis was doing, dropped him with a DDT, tagged in Montez. An amazing, absolutely amazing frog splash.
Oh, man, it was so high.
He's got to start naming it the 6-star frog splash.
I know.
Street Profits get the win.
Yeah.
They advance.
I like that they replayed that frog splash, too, and you can just marvel in like how crazy it is.
Oh, I know.
He just gets so much air.
And he would jump maybe, I don't know, 60% across the ring.
Yeah, I know. It was great. Next up, we had a fantastic match, save for the finish, which I guess was out of necessity. NXT's not really known for their wonky finishes, so they need to like do that. Undisputed Era, I feel like there's just a lot of wonkiness to them.
Yeah, it's kind of their thing.
Yeah, I know, and I'm not huge on that.
But better that than Adam Cole losing again.
No, I know.
He's lost a lot.
I know. I mean, make it like a non-title match, maybe.
Yeah.
But
they kind of want to protect both these guys, though.
I know. It is what it is. But this is another fantastic match. You said earlier Adam Cole was really selling.
Oh, gosh, that first forearm. Adam Cole flew halfway across the ring selling a forearm strike.
It was great. And I loved that things kicked off with Pete Dunne immediately trying to intimidate away Redragon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got out of the ring and he was like, walking him down basically. They were like, oh, chill out, Tranquilo.
Yeah.
So he gets back in. When he gets back in, Adam Cole kicks him. And the match sort of kicked off. Pete Dunne kept on. He went for the bitter end. Pete Dunne, he kicked out of a last shot.
Yeah.
I feel like Adam Cole needs to go. Oh, his real finisher is a Shining Wizard. That's right, yeah.
I don't know why they did that, because in the indies, the last shot was his finisher.
It was the last shot. It's called the last shot.
Yeah.
That should finish things.
Yeah.
Last and finisher, basically.
Especially where it looked like he dropped Pete Dunne right in his head on his knee. Probably should have finished the match.
But I will say that they booked Pete Dunne really, really strong.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to see that. I want it solidified. Is he on the NXT roster on the page?
Pete Dunne?
Yeah.
They list the United Kingdom title and the belts for NXT.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Okay. All right. Because I want to know that he has a path to main roster.
Yes.
That's what I want to know. And if you're in NXT, that you pretty much have a path to main roster. It was a fantastic, really physical match, really brutal.
Pete Dunne goes for the bitter end at the end, like the second or third attempt at hitting it.
He did the breaking knuckles thing, the breaking fingers thing.
The setup for the last bitter end was great. Yeah. He went transitioned directly from working over Adam Cole's fingers to the pump handle
mm-hmm.
Position, setting up for Bitter End. Redragon enters. They attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roderick Strong comes in to make the save.
Yeah.
And then Pete Dunne, you know, Roderick Strong extends his hand. This is a sign of respect. Mm-hmm. Pete Dunne just kind of pats him on the shoulder and walks out.
Oh, I love that. Pete Dunne is so great. I love that. Yeah, he just sort of pat him on the shoulder and went. He has the best shoulder shrug.
I know.
Pete Dunne's shoulder shrug is the best. Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I like Pete Dunne's because it kind of looks natural.
Well, yeah. It's
genuine. Yano's like, you know, the Benny Hill of New Japan. Because, yeah, it's like genuine. But so, I mean, I don't know. I read some spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to start speculating when you know what's going to happen. Feels like we're going to get an alliance between Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
I do wonder, is there any chance? I actually kind of don't know. I know that they team up. I don't really know much beyond that.
All right. I do.
Okay. If this leads to an alliance between Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong, do you know how far out that goes?
Mm-hmm. At least in terms of the next set of tapings, yes.
Yeah. I just wonder, is there any chance this is a path towards Roderick Strong turning heel, joining Undisputed Era? Because I always feel like whenever he's mixing up with Undisputed Era, I'm always keeping an eye on him. I thought that was going to happen at War Games.
There's a possibility, I guess.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll save whatever for
whenever it happens.
That is the one thing about NXT. It's like, you know, I don't know what I can really talk about or speculate, which is one of the more fun things about stuff.
I know.
Because stuff has already happened.
But then when they do the tapings, I can't help myself but to read what happens.
To a degree. Well, for one thing, I can't help myself reading my own Twitter notifications other friendos saying, did you guys hear about this stuff? Which is fine. You guys are enthusiastic. I think it's great.
Yes.
But I don't know. I kind of don't want that to happen, though. I don't want Roderick Strong to go heel and turn and go to the Undisputed.
Oh, I don't either.
I don't want that to happen. I think he's got a great story right now. I would love to see. I'll put it this way. I would love to see this ending with Roderick Strong, because they did note that at the end of that segment that Roderick Strong still wants his another opportunity at Pete Dunne and the UK title. I want him to get that, and I want him to win. I think he'd be a great next step for the UK title, mm-hmm. as making it kind of like another NXT mid-card belt, which, spoiler alert, blah, blah, blah. So anyways.
Let's talk about this last segment.
It was supposed to be
Aleister Black and Andrade Cien Almas signing their contract for their takeover match for the NXT title.
Yes.
So Aleister Black comes out first,
mm-hmm.
looking like $1 million mm-hmm. in a suit.
Yep.
So he's in the ring. Almas's music hits, but he's not there. It's just Zelina Vega.
Yes.
She walks down to the ring. She starts talking about how Almas isn't there. And I love that Aleister Black starts trying to look under the table, trying to see if he's hiding somewhere.
Well, he's doing that, but he's also trying to find. So, like, he was doing that at first. He's like, where is he? Apparently, Aleister Black is great at comedy, too.
Like, yeah, apparently.
And I've seen his PWG stuff. You saw the thumb up the butt thing, right?
Yeah.
So I've seen that stuff, and I know he's no stranger to comedy. But this is the first time I saw it, like, in high dev on this stage. The first time we've seen an NXT. Yeah, he's looking around. He's looking under the table for him, which is a hilarious slight to Almas's height, which doesn't end with Almas. And so he's doing that. And then she stops her. She's like, would you pay it? Like, she's just like, stop doing that. Would you pay? And he goes like that.
Yeah.
Puts his hand in her face.
And he picks up the table, moves it closer to the ropes, and then sits down in the middle of the ring and more or less says, now that I'm at your height.
Now that I'm at your level. Exactly. You can continue. And she's like, how dare you disrespect me? At one point, I think she slaps him, and he gets this great look on his face.
Yeah, that's towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The bemused smile on his face after the slap was so good.
It's so fantastic. So she slaps him. He gets up because I forget exactly what he says to her.
He just made a bunch of short jokes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much all it was.
He just made a bunch of short jokes. That's right.
That's all it was.
That's right. It was fantastic.
Talking about how Almas is going to come up short. There's one other one too.
Yeah. So he leaves and he says, and she's like screaming at him. And he says, oh, by the way, Zelina, you might have come alone, But I didn't. And I was like, who the hell is that going to be? And it's Candice LeRae. Her music hits. Crowd goes crazy. She comes out, starts beating the crap out of Zelina Vega. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
It was. It was great. Fun way to end the show. I wonder if they're going to have Candice versus Zelina. Well, I guess not. Takeover. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The TV tapings didn't inform you on that.
I'll read spoilers, but you know, it's 90% of it I'll forget.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I'll just kind of scan through it real quickly and then my day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she has to be in there in Almas's corner.
Vega does.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's more likely that she sort of serves as a counter to Zelina Vega, because Vega, you know, obviously she gets involved in the matches.
Yeah.
Maybe Candice will just come out and act as a deterrent to that, and then that'll lead to a proper feud between the two of them, perhaps. I don't know. But, I do like, though, on Twitter, Tommaso Ciampa posted a picture of himself in front of, like, a crowd of people with signs, and he said, a picture says 1,000 words. And then the next picture he posted was of Aleister Black and Candice LeRae smiling at each other.
Yeah.
He says, I wonder what this picture means.
I know.
Ah!
Too.
Oh, he's so rude.
He is. He's mean.
God, he looks amazing, though.
I like that picture he put up on Twitter, too, saying something and then also take note of the vascularity of his arm. Right, he's ripped.
He's got, you know, his veins are like fucking vacuum tubes.
Yeah, man.
They're huge. Let's answer some questions.
Foxy the Foxy Fox. Hey there, friendos. Is Rusev in danger of becoming SmackDown Live's Bray Wyatt? He's over as hell, but loses all the time. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bray Wyatt was never as over as Rusev is right now.
But I see the point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Rusev, the thing about Rusev is that he's got enormous staying power.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, he's even kept the Rusev Day thing fresh.
Yeah.
There's always a new sort of twist on it. Mm-hmm. They're always coming up with new merchandise and stuff. And he's not, it's not the only thing he does.
Yeah.
Like they've got the Lana is the best, that thing.
Lana is number one.
Yeah. So they've got that kind of stuff.
Did you see, sorry, I interrupt you, notice the mixed match challenge promo he and Lana did before their match?
I didn't.
Oh, they ran it during SmackDown.
Okay.
They seem like they're on the verge of laughing the entire time.
I feel like they just give Bray Wyatt nonsense to say, and that thing got old really, really quick. With Rusev, he seems like he's a creative guy who people just want to love now.
Yeah.
And I don't have any fear that he's going to turn into Bray Wyatt. I don't know that he's going to be in line for a singles title, although maybe when the Bob Roode, Jinder Mahal, Randall Orton thing is settled in a couple months,
yeah.
Maybe they'll reward him with U.S. title reign, but I also see him as the kind of guy that maybe they think he doesn't really need a title to be over. So if they can continue to find interesting feuds for him, that would be probably the best case scenario for, not the best case scenario, but hopefully that'll be the thing for him.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I had a question here. Oh, the draft master, Robert Chacon. Power rank top 5 tag teams that you guys want to be added to the 205 live tag team division. Number 1, Danny Burch. Oney Lorcan.
I saw you looking up Danny Burch. What is his weight?
190. That's why I looked. Perfect. I know Oney Lorcan's already over.
He's already been in 205
live. 205 live before.
That'd be great. Could you imagine like a series of matches between him and if they put together Gallagher and Noam Dar?
Yeah, man.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
So good.
That'd be great. No, I like that one. We don't really need any more.
This is an interesting question. Embryonic reflection. How would a wrestler go without thumbs? So if a wrestler had no thumbs.
Well, we've seen it with the Messiah.
Well, he had parts of thumbs. He wasn't.
Were you there with me when he got mad at somebody in the crowd?
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of his, well, like the first show we went to with him after that incident.
Yeah.
And when he wasn't totally without thumbs, I think he was just missing part
some
of it.
Nubs?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
So he can still grab things, I think.
So for those of you who don't know who the Messiah is, he was a wrestler.
In the Los Angeles area.
In the Los Angeles area.
Part of XPW.
And the story goes that he was having some sort of romantic interludes with the wife of
XPW's Rob. Owner, yes.
Right, exactly. And then XPW's owner, Rob Black, sent some thugs over to go take his fingers and maybe his dingus also. Mm-hmm. But luckily, they didn't take his dingus. They made off with like a finger or something,
yeah.
Or like a part of a thumb, I guess.
Yeah.
really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah.
And it's all alleged. Well, people did take his fingers.
Yeah, he was missing part of a thumb.
But, I mean, Rob Black never got, like, charged or anything.
Yeah, nothing I'm aware of.
Having sent people to take his fingers and penis. And then, so that's when we used to live in L.A.
Yes.
And did you say you did or did not go to that show? You were there with me. Because I just remember somebody, like, he came out, you know, to drop a promo, and then somebody in the crowd, some wise, you know, some joker in the crowd,
yeah,
cracked a thumb joke. Oh, he said, use your thumb in the eye. Knowing full well that was now.
He was missing a thumb. Part of a thumb.
His missing chunk of thumb.
Yeah.
And he said, Who said that?
That's funny.
Bro, you gotta have a thick, you gotta know that somebody's gonna crack a thumb joke at your expense.
I know.
That sucks. Totally sucks. This is an interesting question here.
I'm just trying to think. Could you grab someone for an Irish whip if you have no thumb? You'd have to just use your hand. They'd have to do
the other guy would have to do the work.
It's
which is possible. Most of wrestling anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's totally possible. I've seen people wrestle without legs, without arms and stuff. Yeah. You know, it's possible.
Be done.
Sure. Dung Diggler has an interesting question here. He says, Ciampa versus Gargano, potential best match of TakeOver New Orleans. Gargano's been fired. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's now out of NXT. They've made it clear that he is gone from NXT.
Gone, completely gone.
We're not going to see him again, right?
Never.
Do the spoilers tell you otherwise?
We're not going to see him again, never.
Okay.
Joe Shea, Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali at Mania is 50% of the way from happening. If it does happen, where does the storyline go from there? Who leaves Mania with the belt? Does anyone turn heel? To the last question, no, I don't think so. Cedric will probably win.
It's got to be Cedric. It's got to be Cedric. Mustafa Ali, he will have his time.
Oh, yeah.
If he keeps on killing it the way he's killing it.
Oh, I know.
But it would be kind of a tragedy at this point for Cedric to have had that much sort of, you know, booked in his favor, and then he comes up short. It has to be. It has to be.
Yeah. It has to be. I hope they give. First of all, I hope it's on the main card. Probably won't be, but I hope it is.
Oh, no. I think the idea that they're saying, and I could be completely wrong about this, they're making such a big deal about it.
I know.
And the fact that they want to make 205 Live a bigger thing.
Open the show with it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Open the show with
it. Do they always open the show with the Andre the Giant?
No.
They don't. Okay.
No, last year was in the pre-show.
Really? It was in the kickoff last year?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then when Baron won, it was like the third to last match.
Okay. Yeah. Open the show with it. Not in the kickoff.
Yeah. U.S. title match will probably be in the kickoff, but not cruiserweight.
Yeah, I could
title.
See that being the case.
Baron the Cat Taxidermist, given that NXT has a grittier, darker tone to the show, just in look, he feels certain characters make sense for it and not the main roster. Which main roster characters do you feel fit the aura of NXT better than where they are currently? The essence of Bray Wyatt fits better on NXT than it does on...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Raw or SmackDown, if they kind of...
Which is why they always put him in the freaking boiler room or whatever.
I know.
They always put him in the bowels of the arena.
If they kind of toned down the more supernatural aspects of his character, he'd fit right in on NXT.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that is kind of my concern of Aleister Black. I hope they don't put him on SmackDown. Although I think Triple H thinks the world of him, and I think he's going to make sure he goes on Raw. Oh, man. I don't know. I kind of felt the same way about Samoa Joe, but he's great on Main.
Yeah. I would say Nakamura, but I think that's just more right now a matter of his creative on SmackDown not being that great.
I mean, it's like...
He fits so perfectly in NXT.
No, I know.
So perfect.
I agree with that completely. It's kind of like the Ascension, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like they're so goofy and on SmackDown where everything's blue and bright and silly. Like, they kind of belong either on Raw... If you're going to take them seriously at any point, they kind of belong on Raw or NXT. But no, I see the point. Like, that's why I don't want Authors of Pain on SmackDown either. But, you know.
Nemo asks, Alexander versus Strong was fantastic, but do you think after great matches that roll-up wins are kind of cheap? Not in that sense, no, because it was a strong roll-up, and it fit the story where both competitors were so confident in their finishers, and it was literally just a matter of geography that they were able to escape.
Yeah.
And be just close enough to the rope. So Cedric probably thought, oh, I got to – if he hits one more, I'm done for.
Mm-hmm.
So Roger goes for it. Cedric rolls him up. Roderick wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
Gets the win.
I see the point in the question, though.
I do, too.
I think it's a valid point.
And I think the fact that with Cedric it was like an inside cradle versus just a roll up,
right,
helped a lot.
And it's not it wasn't a cheesy roll up. It was a really well done roll up that made sense in the context of the match. But I definitely take the point there.
Yeah.
There are too many bad roll ups.
Oh, I know.
A lot of bad roll ups. Let's see here. Nicholas Groskirth. Seeing Shane on Raw got me thinking, when Vince retires and Triple H and his team take over main roster, what are the chances Shane forms a team and takes over NXT? I don't think that'd be the case.
No, I'm sure Triple H has people in NXT now that would be in line to take over. Mm-hmm.
I'm still really curious to know what role Michael Cole has in NXT.
I know, apparently it's fairly prominent, though.
That's what I read the same thing as you did, but I'm kind of curious about that.
Bronze grappling hook is the Bludgeon Brothers hammer, like, how do you say Thor's hammer's name?
Mjolnir, something like that.
Is it like that?
God, I feel like Shane right now.
I know you sound like it, that you're worthy when it's light as a feather. So no one else can pick it up.
Right.
Except for them, because they're worthy of wielding those mallets.
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
They're just props, man. It's a good question, though. I like that.
Here's another good question from Bronze Grappling Hook. No, I like that question, too. How long until we see Rockstar Spud, Drake Maverick, wrestle?
That'd be cool. How about this? Mm. He does this when he's... GM, he's Drake Maverick, but when he decides to...
Oh, that's a great idea!
He says, because he's acknowledged the name change on air.
Yes! That's a great idea!
And when he laces up the boots, Rockstar Spud.
Oh, what a great idea. Look at you. Chock full of great ideas.
Mr. Lipkin Unlimited, book a pay-per-view where every match is someone from NXT versus someone on Main. The loser of each match goes to NXT. The winner goes to Main. Cross brand promotion, so Raw, SmackDown, and 205 Live are all in play. Who fights who and who goes over?
God, there's so much going on here. Pay per view, every match is someone from NXT versus someone on Main. So, off the top of my head, I want to see Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor.
All right.
I want to see that. The loser of each match goes to NXT. The winner goes to Main.
Or stays on Main.
So, Finn goes back to NXT and Pete Dunne goes to Main.
All right.
Cross brand promotion, Raw, SmackDown are all in play. Who fights
Johnny Gargano versus AJ Styles?
Oh, I like that. That's Gargano's. Wait, no, Gargano's not.
He's not next. He's not next. I'm sorry.
He's serving out his 90-day no compete clause.
I'm forgetting right now. My memory's not
that
good.
Did you see he signed his paper?
His termination papers. Yeah. I know. I forgot.
Sorry.
My apologies.
Sorry, Johnny.
Who is? You sure you don't want Aleister Black versus Finn Balor?
Ooh, no! I want Aleister Black versus Samoa Joe.
All right, that'd be good.
That'd be good. Aleister Black goes to Raw.
Or Nakamura.
How about Nakamura versus, I don't know, Pete Dunne?
How about Nakamura versus Almas? I wonder if they wrestled in New Japan.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Oh, they had to, right?
I think so.
La Sombra!
I think so.
Oh, cool. A massive extra credit opportunity for one of my kids.
Oh. All right, that's a three-match pay-per-view.
Take or retake the course, How to Learn Math for Students from Stanford Online.
Tommy T, can you please take a moment to recognize that Kyle O'Reilly is literally going in Raw and made into a wrestler. He has everything. He plays a guitar on his belt. His glasses speak for themselves. And he does the Ric Flair face bump. He's got a good point there, Tommy T. You do. Kyle O'Reilly is kind of going in Raw.
He was extra on
as wrestler.
He was extra on that guitar last
night. Yeah, man.
He was like super into it.
He was really swinging the hips.
Yeah, it was a lot of hip swinging there. Still doesn't do strumming with the hand. Does it all with the hips.
It's all with the body, man.
It's all in the body. Exactly. How great is Adam Cole's face, too?
Oh, man.
He looks like Tom Cruise, but not creepy.
Johnny Ireland, I think the cruiserweights should be dispersed throughout all three brands while still having 205 Live. Is this a good idea?
I actually, look, man, don't fix it if it ain't broken.
Yeah.
205 Live has not been on Raw. I do and like Roderick fine, Strong doing double duty.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it. Although, wasn't there something that was saying that the 205 Live, the cruiserweight title was going to be defended at takeovers?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay. Maybe I just read some random person on Twitter. That's always possible. Mm. And I mistook it for real news.
Okay. I mean, the cruiserweight title should be defended on main roster shows. Quarterly, 205 Live should have their own special events.
I agree with that.
As long as 205 Live isn't like the end destination for wrestlers who are 205 pounds and less.
Yeah, right.
That's the most important for me. Like, if someone gets popular enough on 205 Live and good enough work, they should have every opportunity.
They should have the opportunity
to go to Raw or SmackDown and compete for heavyweight titles. Mm-hmm. Larson's Black Cat stepfather. Hey, friendos. Power rank your top five Steve voice impressions. His new favorite is Mark Calloway. Thanks.
My new favorite. Somebody mentioned the other day that my Mark Calloway sounds like a John C. Reilly.
Mm.
As like Cal, I think.
From Talladega Nights?
Yeah, which I can kind of I can actually see. Shake and bake, man. Shake and bake, Bobby.
Yeah, a little bit.
I love, you know, that movie is really like, when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. But then whenever I watch it, it's like on TNT all the time.
Yeah, it is.
God damn it, it's funny.
I don't think I've seen it since I saw it in the theaters.
You just photoshopped my head out of my family's picture. Put your own, taped your own there. It's like ghosts in the house. No, you stole my wife. You're living in my house right now. I know, but I thought we could be friends.
Getting back to his question, your Baron voice is good. Triple H is good. Your Shane's good. I can't do that, Shane. I can't even try doing the...
All I do is like snort. And then one person on Twitter, I felt kind of bad. One person on Twitter said, okay, I get it. I know how Shane talks. Can you stop doing it? Every time I hear you on the podcast do it, it gives me fits.
Yeah. I'll be honest. It's good, but it's hard to sit next to.
I know, right? It's so gross.
I just feel like I want to blow my nose.
I know. It's on SmackDown every week. I can't listen to the guy.
I know. All in champ, Jose, GGR.
That was a good question.
Who on NXT, is call up in danger of losing all momentum on main like Ty, who will gain more momentum than imagined on main like Elias?
Wow, that's a tough question to answer because I had no idea they had the plans they had for Elias. And then Triple H literally said, yeah, this guy, I knew that he was a main roster star and wasn't even fit really for NXT, which is a crazy concept.
I know. I'll be honest. I'm kind of worried what Almas's fate is going to be on main.
Yeah, man. Me too. Me too. I agree.
As far as someone on NXT that's going to fare better on main. I mean, I guess I'll just say this because he's been losing fairly regularly. I'll say Adam Cole. I think by the time he leaves NXT, he'll have some momentum.
Yeah.
So I think he'll probably, at least to start, fare better on the main roster than he has in NXT.
Yeah, but come on. They treat them like stars.
It's not a great answer, but that's the first thing I came up with.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Shouldn't he be a lock to, spoiler alert.
I don't know, man.
Be a lock for that.
The lineup for that is pretty stacked.
It's stacked, but if he doesn't,
let's talk about it after we're done recording the podcast.
All right. Oh man,
I'd like to say Cassius Ohno would do better in the main roster than he has in NXT, but I don't know if he's what his future looks like on the main roster. I just don't know. He's a fantastic wrestler and a great talker.
We haven't talked about this in a little while since Enzo's been gone, since all that happened, but James Rodriguez here says, I think it's no secret that 205 Live has become a much better show with the tournament, the introduction of Drake Maverick, and Triple H having more hands in the show in general. Was this a direct response to Enzo's release, or do you think they had planned this before his release and that was just a coincidence?
I wonder if they just feel like Enzo's release was an opportunity to hit the reset button.
I think you're right about that.
Because if he hadn't been released, I think Cedric would have won the belt at the Rumble.
Yeah.
They would have continued on as planned, I think.
I think you're right about that. I mean, if you think about it, it would have been a huge risk to... The direction they went, they ended up going in, was so drastically different in the direction they were in. I can't help but think you're right. They lost the guy that thought they could, that they thought could be the centerpiece of the show, and the show was sinking. And I think it was just an opportunity for them to completely rethink it. But without him being released, it might have still happened, but not when it did.
Yeah.
I think it would have taken...
It would have had to hit rock bottom in terms of viewership or something like that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it, you know, it's an interesting question to ask, what if?
Yeah. Chris K has an interesting question. With Asuka's streak on the line, the mixed match challenge, I don't see how her streak can be broken if her partner Miz is pinned by Braun. I thought her streak was for singles matches. She did, or she did not win a battle royal, I believe. That I think it aired on NXT television.
And didn't Carmella win that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, yeah, Carmella won that. But they don't
really. And then she lost. She wasn't pinned, but she lost like house show tag matches early on in NXT too.
Yeah. Where's my title? Now that 205 Live is becoming the top pro wrestling show in WWE, giving 205 Live its own venue, power rank top five rebranding names for 205 Live. I think that the 205 Live name is fine.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I think even if they taped it in front of a hot crowd, the name, the word live can have a couple different connotations
to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think even if they change venues.
You don't have to change the name to
right
adjust for the change in venue, the change
that
for
being
how
said,
it's shot.
Do you have any other suggestions for names? Because I don't like, he mentions here, he says junior weight or lightweight. I don't really like that.
No, 205 Live, sorry.
Fun wrestling.
Yeah, fun wrestling,
yeah. There you go. Oh, man. What time is it? Oh, I think we're good. Anyways, that's it for show.
Yeah, show is over.
Show is over now. Have a good weekend. Oh, we'll be back on the Dirt Sheet tomorrow, actually.
No,
We don't really call it Dirt Sheet anymore. You do, but I don't.
I do.
Hilden, can you hit music, please?
You're obviously holding the button, the apparatus with button to play
this,
music.
This, now this controls Hilden. Hilton, can you now do the title, please?
Where's that wire go?
Hilton.
Oh, dear.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, shit.